The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Toters and toquettes, and welcome. It is Monday, January 21st, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to this special edition of the Russ Belville Show. Normally, we take federal holidays off, but today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is a special holiday for all of us. I'll explain why in the Radical Rant later on the show. And also today was the debut of the new website, smartapproaches.com. I encourage everyone hearing my voice now to check that out. It's a page-for-page parody of the learnaboutsam.com site, the new Project Sam that's been set up by Patrick Kennedy, David Frum, and Kevin Sabet to force marijuana users into rehab, to advocate for a kinder, gentler drug war, a Goldilocks solution, if you will, that will maintain marijuana prohibition and continue to punish responsible adult marijuana smokers. We're going to talk about that in Behind the Headlines as well today, after we get past our 420 radio news. In the news today, in Rhode Island, PolitiFact has called out Protect Families for some of their scaremongering regarding kids and marijuana. It turns out the DEA was helping get prostitutes for the Secret Service in Colombia. And in Honduras, we'll take a look at one of the deadly effects of the war on drugs down there. Mendocino County is fighting a subpoena for its marijuana zip tie program, and police are looking for suspects in a medical marijuana grow robbery here in Northeast Portland. And then our guest for today's show, today, of course, is our Listen to Your Mother segment. And joining us today will be Tracy Ansley from Tennessee. She's with Moms for Marijuana. She'll tell us all about fighting for the end of adult marijuana prohibition right there in Tennessee. So all that's coming up today on the Russ Belville Show. And in hour two, Toker Talk Radio will take your calls at 971-533-7111. We're also hanging out here with Brian the Red in the co-host slot. We'll get to talking to him in hour two as well. So thanks for joining us here. We're going to have a good time. Get involved in our chat room. You can just type /login if you'd like to create yourself an account on Ustream and chat with the rest of us. And again, don't forget to check out 420radio.org, our new home. We're right back with the 420 Radio News after these messages.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The March issue of High Times magazine is here, just in time for playoff season in the National Football League. But did you know that NFL players who use pot receive the toughest penalties in sport? In our March 2013 issue, High Times investigates the NFL's wrong-headed policies and examines how pot can help athletes off the field. We also tee up an outstanding profile of one of the world's greatest strains with the haze craze. Senior cultivation editor Danny Danko weighs in on the origins of this outstanding sativa. And editorial director Dan Sky takes a high-minded look at the outdoor harvest of 2012. Growers are getting higher prices for the product and strains are better than ever. Plus, we'll take you inside of one of the most unique gardens you'll ever see, a state-of-the-art underground bunker that allows growers to create the perfect environment for pot. Also in this issue, Saturday Night Live's Jason Sudeikis drops by to talk about his new film, Movie 43. And guess what? Jason likes pot. Plus, we cover the most important story of the year. Pot is legal in Colorado and Washington. Pick up the March issue of High Times Magazine for the very best marijuana coverage on the planet. Be part of the growing cannabis community. On newsstands now.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 billion suns. Rising of the Milky Way. Cosmos is full beyond me.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Monday, January 21st, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. PolitiFact Rhode Island, protect families first, claims children typically try marijuana at age 12. This from PolitiFact.com. Former U.S. Representative Patrick Kennedy, Democrat of Rhode Island, recently organized a national group to oppose the legalization of marijuana. Project SAM, for Smart Approaches to Marijuana, also calls for limiting medical marijuana use to non-smoked forms of the drug. After the launch of Project SAM, a Providence group called Protect Families First took issue with some of Kennedy's positions. The group says it supports strictly regulating, not prohibiting, marijuana use. The organization also asserted that Kennedy's position does not address the problem of children's access to drugs. In a news release issued January 10th, the same day Project SAM was announced in Denver, Protect Families First listed several statistics, including this one. The average age of first marijuana use is 12, the lowest ever and still declining. The national survey by the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, an agency created by Congress in 1992 to reduce the impact of substance abuse and mental illness on communities, found that the average age of first use of marijuana among young people aged 12 to 49 was 17.5 years in 2011. Monitoring the Future, a project run at the University of Michigan, has surveyed about 50,000 8th, 10th, and 12th graders in the United States annually since the 1970s. In the 2010 survey, 26% of young people said they first smoked marijuana or hashish as high school freshmen. Second to that was the 21.6% who said they first smoked it in grades 7 or 8, about ages 12 to 14. Another report by the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention stated that only 8.1% of students nationally first tried marijuana before the age of 13 years. DEA agents helped hire prostitute for Secret Service agent, report says. This from the Washington Post. A Drug Enforcement Administration agent helped hire a prostitute for a supervisory special agent of the Secret Service during a presidential visit to Colombia last year, according to a Justice Department report. The sexual encounter, which started with a massage, took place at a second DEA agent's Colombian residence, the report said. News of a prostitution scandal involving Secret Service personnel first surfaced in April when the agency recalled several agents from the South American country. The inspector general revealed the involvement of DEA agents in a one-page summary of findings to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee on December 20th. The agents later confessed to wiping data from their BlackBerry devices and admitted they had hired prostitutes for themselves and used their DEA smartphones to arrange the encounters, according to the report. Deadly DEA raid again in Honduras. This from World War IV report. At least one suspected drug trafficker was killed January 16 in the first U.S.-supported drug raid in Honduras following a five-month suspension in radar intelligence sharing between the countries, authorities said. The Honduran Navy said January 16th that one of three Jamaican men on a speedboat carrying 350 kilograms of cocaine died when a Honduran Coast Guard vessel rammed the craft before dawn about 4 kilometers off of the country's north coast. A contingent of DEA agents was apparently on board the Honduran naval craft. Rear Admiral Rigoberto Espinal said one of the Jamaicans jumped into the sea and disappeared, and his fate has not been confirmed. The third man was detained and interrogated by the DEA. The radar cooperation was halted after the Honduran Air Force shot down two suspected drug planes in violations of agreements with Washington designed to prevent such deaths in these operations. And police are looking for suspects in a medical marijuana robbery in Northeast Portland from OregonLive.com. The suspects were involved in a Sunday morning robbery of a marijuana grow house in Northeast Portland at the 9600 block of Northeast Everett Street. A male victim at the grow house told police he was on the back porch when two male suspects, one of whom was armed, approached him. He said the armed suspect struck him with the handgun. Two suspects then entered the residence and stole multiple pounds of processed marijuana and then ran to a car outside where a male and female were waiting. The suspect vehicle is described as an older blue or silver American-made sedan. None of the victims live at the house, which police confirmed was a legal medical marijuana grow site. And that's your 420 Radio News for Monday, January 21st, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. We'll cover the Mendocino County zip tie story in Hour 2. Coming up in Behind the Headlines, a stupid stoner story, and the launch of smartapproaches.com. This is the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. Law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Respect the law, but know your rights. And share if you can.
Ask me any question, I'm gonna plead the fifth. Unless you asking me if I wanna smoke a spliff, then I'll be coming over, I'm gonna take a leave. You know I leave you feeling like you got a touch of the gift.
Yeah, this is Brian the Red, and you're listening to 420radio.org. So get a little airy.
As a public service, the Russ Belville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's stupid prohibition stories.
With your stupid prohibition stories, I'm old-timey 1920s radio reporter Freddie Farrakh. police say speeding left to an $800,000 marijuana bust. A Lancaster, Pennsylvania county man stopped for speeding is facing numerous drug charges after authorities said they found 68 pounds of marijuana in his pickup truck, his home, and a storage garage he rented. Richard Michael Siri, age 48, of East Hempfield Township, was pulled over on Monday and had a strong odor of marijuana in his pickup, according to the Lancaster County Drug Task Force. Siri voluntarily turned over a small amount of marijuana, but a search later turned up 17 pounds of marijuana, worth about $25,000, in a luggage bag in the passenger compartment. Detectives said they then searched Siri's home and found 29 grams of marijuana, psilocybin mushrooms, $4,000 cash, handguns, and drug paraphernalia. A semi-automatic rifle and another handgun were seized from a self-storage unit rented by Siri. The following day, authorities received a tip that Siri had a hidden room built into his home. They found a small secret area behind a living room bookshelf that had an additional 14 pounds of marijuana, worth an estimated $47,000, and a safe containing about another $47,000 in cash, detectives said. The man then agreed to lead detectives to a Manor Township storage garage, where a BMW convertible had 36 pounds of marijuana in the trunk, and another location in East Hempfield Township, where he had hidden $200,000 in cash, authorities said. All for speeding. This is Freddie Farrakh, your old-timey 1920s radio reporter with Stupid Prohibition Stories.
Well, I don't know what to say about that one. Well, I do. Somebody who is commenting on this story actually did have the right thing to say about it. If he'd have been speeding through Colorado, he'd have just gotten a ticket. Yeah, folks, if you're going to be carrying copious amounts of cash and marijuana, you might want to try cruise control. Just a thought. Just a thought. Welcome back, and we're going to go behind the headlines here just a little bit. Of course, I've been telling you all about our Project Sam parody, Smart Approaches to Marijuana. Sam tried to make us go to rehab, but we said no, no, no. This morning at 6 a.m., I launched smartapproaches.com. It is a page-for-page satire of the website learnaboutsam.com, which was recently mentioned in various news media as the front page for Project Sam. Now, the satire that I built uses actual policy positions and rhetorical claims from Project Sam and then peppers them with copious amounts of snark, studies, sarcasm, and science. And fake evil Spock goatees. SAM stands for Smart Approaches to Marijuana, and it represents a radical shift in tactics by those who seek to maintain marijuana prohibition. I like to call it Project Samuel, Smart Approaches to Marijuana Use, except legalization. SAM was seemingly formed by former Representative Patrick Kennedy, who was shocked in the wake of a successful marijuana legalization election in Washington and Colorado. However, as a longtime observer of its architect, Dr. Kevin Sabet, I believe this project is simply Sabet's long-term reframing plan for continuing to push responsible adult marijuana smokers into rehab or cages. The goals of Project Samuel include forced rehab and re-education for adult marijuana smokers, continued arrest and imprisonment of adult marijuana growers and sellers, continued raiding and shuttering of medical marijuana facilities, and fast-tracking pharmaceutical versions of medical marijuana. Now, he's no idiot, Kevin Sabet. He's not spelling it out so plainly. Instead, it's all dressed up in the language of concern and compassion and treatment and rehab and ending the worst elements of the drug war, like mandatory minimums, stop and frisk, and putting people in cages for personal possession, because those elements of the drug war are becoming indefensible even to Republicans. So he's cooked it up in some language that should soothe some of the voices outside the drug reform community, like unions, the NAACP, or Pat Robertson, those people that are criticizing the drug war that only 7% of us Americans think we are winning. But we aren't standing by and letting Sabet get away with his Goldilocks solution. Check out smartapproaches.com today and see the snark. I'll tell you, some of it was hard to do. Some of this stuff, it's harder to make it sound any more Orwellian than it already is. Well, you've been working really hard. I think we deserve a break.
I think we do.
What do we got there?
A little bit of pineapple.
All right, let's try it out. Be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Drugs make me strong. Drugs make me smart. Drugs make me feel good. Drugs make me cool.
You believe that crap? Huh? You believe all that stuff they're handing you about drugs? You want to believe in something? How about yourself? Don't do drugs.
Big Daddy thinks.
Here at the Funky Roller Rink, it's always cool.
They call me cool, 'cause I got more glide, my stride, more dip in my hip.
Oh yeah, yeah, fun, fun.
And I wear a mean dark pair of shades, and you can't see my eyes unless my head is bent. Give me five. They call me cool, Mr. Cool.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a gift. Play more, play more if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Fire it up. Play more, play more if you can. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, we'll get to our Daily Toker Tune here in just a second. I wanted to finish up what I had to say about the Project Samuel before I got cut off by the 20 after break. Like I was saying, this Project Sam thing, the reason I've dedicated so much time to this is because I think it is a radical shift in the way the drug warriors have been fighting against us. And this has got to be, you know, nipped in the bud, if you'll pardon the expression, before it gains any traction with the mainstream out there, because people are clearly against the war on drugs at this point. Only 7% believe we're winning it, but there's still some reticence to the idea that drugs should be legalized. More people are accepting marijuana legalization, but it's still just a slim majority at this point. And when it comes to other drugs, they're nowhere near on the same page of ending prohibition of those. So I think it's important for us to ridicule and mock this thing that I'm calling a Goldilocks solution on their point. I mean, clearly they think Americans are, that the drug war is too hard as far as overcrowding prisons and being obviously racist and having disdain for sick people that are using medical marijuana. It's too hard. And Sabet knows that. He's not a dummy. He realizes that trying to fight the drug war the same old way isn't going to work. So he's triangulating his position by painting the growing popularity of regulating marijuana like alcohol for adults as too soft, you know, because it'll make the teens go crazy and it'll make the teens stupider and state gambling lotteries. No, that's not part of the satire. That's actually one of the non sequiturs he throws out in one of his pieces on Learn About Sam. We can't legalize marijuana because state gambling lotteries never paid the money they owed to the schools. Okay. Then he floats this Project Samuel as being not too hard and not too soft, but just right. The Goldilocks way, the third way that strategically retreats from the worst aspects of the drug war without actually ending it. So I subjected that language to the time-honored tradition of satire. SmartApproaches.com is what I imagined if Stephen Colbert and the writers from The Onion tackled LearnAboutSam.com. And my apologies to them all. They are all better comedy writers than I am. But I never imagined how difficult some drug war mentality would be to satirize. How do you make creating model state and federal laws that funnel marijuana users to interventions or treatment sound any more Orwellian than it already does? How do you ridicule someone explaining that they reject a war on drugs model and they accept just say no as an easy rule to follow in the same article? How do you lampoon a liquor dynasty scion with four damaged yachts and two wrecked cars from an OxyContin habit telling pot smokers they need forced rehab? So now, by now, you've probably pegged me as having kind of a personal axe to grind in this. And yes, I do. I'm one of the 2 to 3 million daily adult marijuana smokers in America that Project Samuel would consider to be an addict worthy of forced rehab. I'm one of the 26 million annual adult marijuana smokers in America that Project Samuel would subject to at least tickets, fines, mandatory rehab, re-education, and probationary P-tests, just because I choose to relax with a substance far safer than alcohol. And if not, they'd still support arrest, handcuffs, detainment, booking, fingerprinting, mugshot, Google searchable mugshot, trial, fine, prison, parole, and probation if I have too much marijuana or even one little plant. So yeah, it's a little personal. However, I also I'm having trouble speaking. I also host this show here on 420 Radio every day, and I have to read the headlines every day in our news segment. So as much as SmartApproaches.com delights me for its satire, it's really for Rachel Hoffman, Richard Floor, Jonathan Magby, Katherine Johnston, a whole lot of dogs, and many more people who are dead because adults must be punished for trying to grow and use a relaxing, non-toxic, medicinal herb with low risk of abuse, dependence, and side effects. It's for the 9 out of 10 people with real substance abuse problems who want to voluntarily enter rehab but can't find a bed because they're being displaced by functional, responsible marijuana users involuntarily sentenced to rehab. It's for the mothers in Mexico who weep for their slaughtered sons because we keep letting the violent cartels run our marijuana markets. It's for the patients in 32 states who have no hope of legally using medical marijuana, and to the providers in the 18 states who are sentenced by federal courts to prison who can't even say they were following state law. It's for the kids who year after year tell us marijuana is much easier to buy than alcohol because their high school weed dealer doesn't check ID and there is no high school tequila dealer. And finally, SmartApproaches.com is for Jack Herer. Because this is the loudest, best way I know how to shout, "The Emperor wears no clothes!"
2, 3.
Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation, the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice. Come true, so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening alligators of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. Let freedom ring, let freedom ring. Not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain.
Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountain side. Let freedom ring, and when it happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the only growth spiritual, free at last.
Say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
Nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111. Activism begins with act. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Today is Listen to Your Mother segment here on the Russ Belleville Show. And joining us from Moms for Marijuana International, we've got Tracy Ansley on the phone. Tracy, welcome to the show. Hello, Tracy, are you there? Oh, boy, we're having that kind of fun day again. Okay, we will see what we can do to get Tracy on the call. Yeah, doesn't sound like we're on the call. All right, we will take a quick break. Hopefully when we come back, we'll have Tracy. Stick around.
Yo, 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 what's good, doggy? I heard you're looking for that fresh slice. Ha ha, J-Love. Nah, what's this paper trail you handed me? Ain't you heard? J-Love's all paperless now. Credit or debit, fool? J-Love! Oh, yo, what's good, dog? You looking for that green? Yo, I got you, man. I got the special. Check it. Yo, I got 223 bags for 53 bucks. Nah, man. You trying to pull a fast one on J-Love? On J-Love? That's 23 bucks. You know a 23 bags gonna win you 25 bucks. Yo, you got my money, little Bow Wow? Yo, hold up. You didn't get my text about my price change? Man, 23 bags on you, 25.35, man. Fuck you looking at? I ain't got no change. Jay, no. What up, Scooby? You looking for that sick perp? Check out my pinky ring. Yo, I'll give you a dub for $31. $24.87. He's gonna run you about 123.34.
12.34. 4, 5, 6, 7.
McCoy's gonna run you 542.67.
2, 3, 4, and 7.
22.45. Dom's gonna cost
1, 2, 3. Dog.
Jay. 11.33.
No.
99. Ha. J Love.
It's a J.
Alright.
J-Love!
Sup, Snoopy? Where's Woodstock? Ha-ha! J-Love! Yo, let me get some of that finest, you know what I'm saying? I know you ain't running from that shit. Yo, we about to smoke a blunt! J-Love!
My name is Steve Downing. I'm a retired deputy chief of police from the Los Angeles Police Department. When I was a young cop on the street in the 60s, I believed the rhetoric and the propaganda that drug abusers were bad for our communities, that they were thieves and all of that. And as I progressed through the ranks, I began to question those things. In the 1970s, I took over the narcotic enforcement effort. One of the rules we had, if more than $100,000 cash was going to go out on the street as the flash for the buy, we required a command officer in the air in a helicopter. I was up one night when we had over $100,000 on the street. The officer flashed the money. The crook pulled out a gun and shot him in the face and killed him. And I said, he is really dead, and his family is without a husband and a father because he's trying to stop an addict from getting some dope. He's not trying to stop a bank robbery. He's not trying to stop a rapist. You don't see Coors and Budweiser distributors shooting it out on the street. That's because alcohol is regulated and controlled and taxed. I would legalize, regulate, and control all drugs without incarceration. There would be a significant reduction in the prison population across this country. Families would be allowed to stay together, and this country would save probably $1 trillion over the next 25 years.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It's like deja vu all over again here. It's our Listen to Your Mother segment, and my apologies. I had Tracy Ansley on my calendar, but it was really Dana who was on today. Dana Arvidson, Executive Director of Fundraising for the Mothers of Cannabis Quilt. So, Dana, are you on the line there? No. This is not turning out to be my day, I'm afraid. No, afraid not. All right, folks. Well, we're doing it live here on a holiday. And one of the only reasons I did the holiday show today was because we have these guests booked. So, just move on. That's the way it goes sometimes when you're doing it live on a holiday. All right, well, we will just move on and come up with a radical rant. Coming up next, we'll talk about Martin Luther King Jr. Day and marijuana civil rights. So stick around.
To the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
On the road again.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at norml.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Martin Luther King Jr. would legalize marijuana. I open this with a provocative title to begin a discussion about marijuana use and civil rights. Today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and every year I'm reminded of his leadership in the fight for equality and justice under the law. I recall always the text of his I find to be the most compelling. Not the often-mentioned I Have a Dream speech at the Capitol Mall on August 28, 1963, that he delivered to millions, but instead the letter from a Birmingham jail he wrote alone 19 weeks earlier to 8 white clergymen in Alabama. The clergyman wrote a call for unity, pleading with, quote, our Negro community to withdraw support, end quote, from the nonviolent marches called for by Dr. King. And he responded by writing this masterpiece in the margins of newspaper clippings from a jail cell. The clergymen, of course, were only acting in the best interest of the Negroes. Quote, honest convictions in racial matters could properly be pursued in courts, the clergyman explained, but, quote, the decisions of those courts should, in the meantime, be peacefully obeyed, end quote. Such was America just 50 years ago, when Negroes should peacefully remain in the backs of the buses, using separate facilities, and suffering the occasional lynching, until the courts can properly pursue this vicious discrimination. In the letter from the Birmingham jail, Dr. Martin Luther King wrote, I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. Moreover, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and all states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Frankly, I have yet to engage in a direct action campaign that was well-timed in the view of those who have not suffered unduly from the disease of segregation. For years now, I've heard the word, wait! It rings in the ear of every Negro with piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. We must come to see, with one of our distinguished jurists, that justice too long delayed is justice denied. One may well ask, how can you advocate breaking some laws and obeying others? The answer lies in the fact that there are two types of laws, just and unjust. I would be the first to advocate obeying just laws. One has not only a legal, but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. I would agree with Saint Augustine that an unjust law is no law at all. An unjust law is a code that a numerical or power majority group compels a minority group to obey, but does not make binding on itself. This is difference made legal. By the same token, a just law is a code that a majority compels a minority to follow, and that it is willing to follow itself. This is sameness made legal. Those are the words of Martin Luther King from the Birmingham jail. So what does this have to do with pot smoking? And isn't it a little grandiose to compare it to the civil rights movement? It would be easy enough for me to speak a few paragraphs on the racism inherent in the war on marijuana, but Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow does a far better job and benefits from a credibility this white pot smoker lacks. However, the racism angle of the drug war isn't what makes it a civil rights issue. It's the very concept of drug war in the first place, the mad notion that government has any jurisdiction over citizens' consciousness, absent imminent harm to others posed by those citizens. Is getting high a civil rights issue? Nobody chooses to be black, gay, or female, but everybody chooses whether to smoke pot or not. Then again, everybody chooses whether to be Catholic, Muslim, or some other, or no faith. Are pot smokers a people facing injustice and oppression? We could choose just to not smoke pot. just as Sikhs could choose to shave and not wear turbans if they're the targets of discrimination. No, no, we haven't suffered centuries of slavery. I do not intend to demean any struggle for civil rights fought by any group. However, I also do not believe the worthiness of a civil rights battle is measured by the suffering or number of its victims. Have we ever felt the bites of dogs and the sting of firemen's hoses like our black citizens? No. But we do regularly watch our dogs get shot and killed by the bullets of SWAT semi-automatics when our homes are raided. Have we ever faced open discrimination like colored-only fountains and no Irish need apply want ads? Yes, all the time. Whenever any job we are eminently qualified for claims to be a drug-free workplace and judges our fitness for work not by the content of our character, but by the metabolites of our piss. Have we ever known what it's like to live a second life at work, hiding who we are, the activities we enjoy, the friends and lovers we adore, all because the bigots at our office would fire us in a second if they knew our true identity, like our gay and lesbian citizens? Yes. Yes, we do. And we even face tests that will out us if we get in an accident, take too many sick days, or just come up in a random drawing. Do we know what it's like to have society label, mock, and criticize our deeply held beliefs, using them to question our value as parents, teachers, and citizens, like some of our deeply religious citizens? Yes. And we get it in pun headlines that no journalist would ever stoop to in covering a black, gay, or women's issue. Do we know what it's like to have government want to control the very functioning of our bodies and control of our own medical conditions? Yes, my sisters, and they'll monitor our piss to verify it. We suffer this treatment because of who we are as a people, pot smokers. Many of the penalties and discriminatory actions we suffer are based on metabolites that only prove we smoke pot, not that we have recently smoked pot. But most of all, we are condemned to second-class citizenship because of an unjust law. Prohibition of marijuana, while alcohol and tobacco remain legal, is an unjust law. A majority has created a law making mind-altering substance use illegal, then compels the minority who enjoy pot to obey it, but does not make the law binding on the majority that enjoy alcohol. I know, I can hear the detractors already quibbling with semantics. Why, the law is only prohibiting certain substances. It's not discriminatory because all people, even pot smokers, can drink beer and smoke cigarettes. This is kind of like arguing that banning gay marriage isn't discriminatory because gay men are as free to marry women as straight men are. Or they'll cloud the issue. They'll try to obfuscate. What? Do we propose legalizing all drugs, even cocaine, meth, and heroin? Are those civil rights? Well, yes, they are. But they are also drugs which can lead to harms greater than alcohol and tobacco. We have rights to free speech and bearing arms, too. But we can't yell fire in a crowded theater and own Stinger missiles, because the potential for imminent harm to others' rights. Keeping marijuana prohibited while alcohol and tobacco are legal is like protecting kids by banning golf, but keeping football and martial arts in schools. Now, two states, Washington and Colorado, have wrested some degree of freedom from our country's oppression of marijuana users. That noise that rang out from those two states election night was the jubilation of a people freed to pursue equality, not just libertines celebrating a right to get high. After all, we've been getting high, regardless of the law, for decades now. We cannot sit idly by in Seattle and Denver and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham and cities in 48 other states. We do have a dream that one day we will be judged not by the metabolites of our pee, but by the content of our character. So given what I have read from Dr. King and his pursuit of equality and justice, and given the recent support of the NAACP, I feel confident in proclaiming that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would be on the side of ending this futile and cruel prohibition of marijuana. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We have to take a small break here because, you know, dry mouth happens. And we're doing it live because of scheduling issues. My apologies, though. It's probably my fault. I've been busy and distracted. Should have followed up. We'll make the best of it, though. Stick around. We'll have some fun. This is the Russ Bell Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Welcome back, everybody. 9 minutes till the top of the hour here in the Pacific time zone. Well, in every time zone. Actually, that's not true. There are some time zones that are off by a half hour or 45 minutes that it will not be the top of the hour in those time zones. But if you're not living in Bangladesh or Nova Scotia, I think it will be the top of the hour shortly. Welcome back. Russ Belleville here on the Russ Belleville Show, hanging out with Brian the Red. We got one of our news stories that we can catch up on here. A little thread coming out of that hat there. Got a news story here we can catch up on while we're filling out the hour. This one, you remember the Mendocino County zip tie program that they had? There's a terrible, terrible thing happening here with respect to that. There's a subpoena now, federal subpoena, and this has been written up in the LA Times. Mendocino County spars with feds over conflicting marijuana laws. Mendocino County is fighting efforts by federal prosecutors to get records on medical marijuana growers who signed up for a program intended to sanction their business under state law. Last March, Mendocino County officials stopped issuing permits to grow up to 99 plants. Now, county attorneys are urging a federal judge in San Francisco to quash a federal subpoena issued in October demanding a wide range of information about the cultivation program, including applications of growers seeking permits. Mendocino County instituted this county code to try to control the surge of marijuana cultivation. Robberies jumped as newcomers flooded in. And with no regulation, many growers illegally graded, logged, and diverted creeks to produce huge multi-million dollar crops. Some local growers wanted to reintegrate into the county and not feel like outlaws, said County Supervisor John McCowan. Those who registered with the sheriff had to install security fencing and cameras, pay permitting fees of up to $6,450 a year, and undergo inspections four times a year. Every plant was given a zip tie with a sheriff's serial number on it. 18 growers signed up the first year. Medical marijuana advocates hailed the zip tie program as the first to create a clear, legal means for growers to supply the medical market. The U.S. attorney was quick to show its disapproval. The DEA agents raided the farm of the first person to register, Joy Greenfield. Still, 91 growers signed up the next year. Despite the raid, county officials planned to continue the program. It had paid for itself, generating an estimated $600,000 over 2 years and allowed the sheriff to focus on growers causing more problems. McCowan said he can't understand why prosecutors are focusing on the county's registered growers. Quote, "When you've eliminated all those outlaw trespass growers, then come talk to us about our legally compliant 99 plant growers," end quote. I'm sorry, anytime a cop says something like that, I gotta applaud. Yeah. Well, that's county supervisor. I'm sorry, it wasn't a cop. County supervisor. But still, what this just illustrates the idiocy of how we go about prohibiting marijuana. The feds will come out and they'll make all sorts of, you know, proclamations and memos. We're not going to bust anyone in clear and unambiguous compliance with state and federal law or state laws with regard to medical marijuana. We're only after the bad guys. We want to get these bad guys, the bad, awful, wicked, evil people who grow marijuana and sell it to healthy people. Those people, those are the ones we're going after. The drug kingpins, the big traffickers, the criminal organizations. We want to get those guys that are ruining our forests and doing terrible things that are terribly terrible. Those are the ones we're going to go after. And yet, who do they go after? They go after the Harborside Health Centers. They go after the Berkeley Patients Group. They go after Mendocino County's zip tie program that is basically saying, look, if you want to grow in Mendo, you got to play by the rules. You got to put up a fence, some cameras, pay some fees. You got to be inspected. You got to have these zip ties. Something that actually allowed the cops to go after all of the interlopers and the Mexicans and whoever else you want to blame it on that's supposedly growing out there in the forest. They go after the people who do it right, who follow the rules. Number one, it's an easier bust. They followed rules. They filled out paperwork. Evidence is right there with their signature on it. But really, it's more insidious than that. It's more than them just being lazy in going after the best-run dispensaries and the highest-profile targets. It really has to do with the strategy. You ever heard of that paradigm that, you know, when you go to prison or you're the new kid in school or whatever, you know, find the biggest, baddest guy and punch him out? You know, even if you lose the fight, at least people respect you. You know, you've proven your cred. You took out the big boy. You know, at least you weren't afraid to. That's what they're doing, folks. They want to show that you can't possibly follow the law. There is no law. There is no amount of money. There is no following any set of regulations. There's no hurdle high enough for you to clear for them not to want to ruin that and put it in a cage. That's part of it. That's part of it. They got to take out the biggest ones. And the backing reason for that is if a Harborside is successful, if a county like Mendo can have growers voluntarily agreeing to all sorts of conditions that no producer of any other crop in the world would agree to. Ultra high taxes, government inspections, zip ties on every single plant. Can you imagine a guy with an apple orchard having to comply with that? Or, you know, some guy planting potatoes. Got a potato farm, gotta have a zip tie and every one of them potatoes. So willing to comply with each and every one of these regulations, jump through all the hoops, pay all the fees, contribute to society, follow the rules, those are the guys that got to be taken down. Because if they show that it can be done, if they show that it can be run like a business, if they're allowed to openly flout federal law and the sky still remains, then all that fear-mongering starts to melt away. It's so much harder to predict the terrible outcomes of legalizing marijuana when you do it and nothing bad happens. It's especially difficult when you do it and a whole bunch of good happens. Oh my God, we raised tax money. That was the first mistake. That was the first mistake for the Fed's point of view was when they started, well, we'll tax them. We'll tax them. That'll show them. And we all went, oh yeah, sure. We'll pay taxes. Hell yeah. Absolutely. Taxes? Here you go. Protection money? Don't throw me in a cage? I'm all for it. But again, if these people learned from history, I wouldn't have to be here. That's all the time we got for hour one. Hey, thanks for sticking with us, even through the thick and thin, and doing it live, as it were. We appreciate each and every one of you. And when we come back, hour two, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. Look through some more of the headlines of the day. Talk a little bit about smart approaches. And report on the latest with Brave Michaela. So all sorts of stuff coming up in hour two. Podcast available for VIP members of 420radio.org. Subscribe now, 420radio.org/donate. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.